Lord, we need you this morning. As it's already been stated, so much happens from Sunday to Sunday. My God, and just ask your covering over us, Lord. Just ask your protection from danger seen and unseen, that your hand be upon us for good and not for evil. Lord, that we don't get caught up into the schemes of the enemy and wind up somewhere we never planned on being. So give us your wisdom, Lord, to walk, to think, to talk according to your will, according to your word, and according to your way. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, we ask now that you would teach us through your word. thank you that your word is it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path, Lord. And the Proverbs have said it's a light, it's a lamp, and it's life. That's the word, God. Give us the light, the lamp, and the life of the word this morning. Illuminate it all throughout our life. Expose the areas that need to be illuminated so we can see you. All the dark areas, expose them so we can see you and run to the light. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. Speak to our hearts now. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. We love you, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we are, Dominique, yeah, let's start at verse 30, Dominique, 9 and 30. And then we're going to be all over the place. And when we stop, we stop. Amen. We'll pick it up next week. So we've already been through the chapter. As I was studying this, let me just make sure I can get it right, that God just put on my heart how this man born blind, he experienced a divine day. So make a note of divine day, filled with divine encounters, ups and downs. But then God just kind of impressed upon me, family, that every day is a divine day. But we miss it if we get distracted by the flesh or by haters. We know the enemy's out there. So think of this man's life. He thought it was just an ordinary day, but he had an encounter with God. Family, we have an encounter with God every day. So he thought it was an ordinary day. He has an encounter with God. He gets healed. Then he has an encounter with the neighbors. They're kind of hating on him. The Pharisees are interrogating him. How did this happen? How did this? His divine, where God touched his life. Then his parents reject him. This could have been, as SpongeBob would say, this could have been the best day ever. Here I am born blind and I get healed on this day. Hear what I'm saying. It could have been the best day ever. It can't get any better than that. But then I got to deal with neighbors. Then I got to deal with religious folks. And then my family rejects me. Then he gets kicked out the temple. And then God finds him. This is all in one day. This is a divine day, but we got to deal with the haters and the flesh so we don't miss what God is doing. He trusts God. He gets saved. He preaches his first sermon. This is an incredible day. Family, we have divine days every day. In the midst of them, it's up, it's down, it's highs and it's lows, but it's still divine. We say, okay, Pastor, what do you mean? Dominique, take us to Psalms 118. If you have your Bible, please turn there. Psalms 118. Where am I trying to go, Pastor? Pastor, you got to get it together this morning. I am trying, trust me. I really am. I think it's 118:20. Psalms 118:20. Turn a page. You got to see this, right? Psalms 118:24. If you're there, say amen. Amen. It says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Underline rejoice. Underline this is the day. What does that mean? If the Lord's made it, then what? It's a divine day. And despite all that's going on, look, compare this to the blind man's day in his life. He said, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will. You have to will yourself to rejoice in it, to rejoice and be glad in it, because the haters, because the enemy, and because of your flesh. But you can't look at Psalms 118 without looking at Psalms 118:1. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, highlight it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is because his mercy, his loving kindness endureth forever. Then look at Psalms 118:8. Okay, I don't know who's done this, but somebody has claimed to have done this. Dominique, put up Psalms 118:8. They said all the verses, this they say that Psalms 118:8 is the middle of the Bible. It's the exact same verses from the Old Testament to this and from this to the end of the New Testament. I don't know. I ain't done that, so I can't. I'm just telling you what I've heard. But when you get to the middle of the Bible, it says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You get to the middle of the Bible and it tells you, verse 9 says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, our pastors, our bosses, our presidents. And so then you have to look at Psalms 118:17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. If you don't have this as one of your study worship chapters, you should. Verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Look at verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And who's that talking about? All throughout the word. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. All right, let me finish this up. Then we get to verse 24. Come on, put it all together. Put it in context. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I'm begging you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm begging you, send progress. That word prosperity means progress in the Hebrew. It also does mean profitability, but it's meaning more progress. God, move us forward. God, don't let me go backwards, but let me move forward. So then we got to finish the chapter. Verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Verse 27, God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Underline light. We're talking about God being the light of the world. So light back then, he's a light now. Bind the sacrifice with cords even unto the horns of the altar. Verse 28, thou art my God, make it personal, underline this, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. And then the way it started is the way it finished. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We will decree and declare that the first Sunday in November, that God is good and his mercy endures forever. This is a divine day. Despite all that goes on. Let's go back, Dominique, to John 9, and let's take it to 31. So, family, let me make this as clear as I can. Do I have any read this, Sister Kathy? I'm sure I do. Let me see what I have here. So every day is a divine day because why? Because Psalms 118:24 tells us this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not only is it a divine day, but we have divine encounters throughout the day. People that God sends into our life for his glory, and we have to be dialed in and in tune. Otherwise, we get caught up in the flesh, we get caught up in other things, and we miss the opportunity. Amen. We don't allow God to speak to our heart because I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm frustrated. I'm looking at something I shouldn't be looking at when I'm talking to them. And then it turns into a lower level fleshly encounter. Yes. Then I miss what God is trying to speak in that moment. Amen. We talked about verse 31. It says, now we know that God does not hear those that are practicing sin unless it's a prayer of repentance. But if any man be a worshiper, underline worshiper of God, connected to God through worship, someone that exalts God, someone that has accepted God as their personal Lord and Savior. This man is saying, but if any man, this is his sermon right now, the man born blind who sat outside the temple and sometimes in the temple, although he was blind, he could hear very well and he understands the scriptures. If any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. God hears that type of person. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? That's your divine day. This has never happened. Make a note, worship. Worshiping God is as personal as it gets. Make a note, we're not talking organized religion. We're not talking about church programs. We're not talking about tradition or some other propaganda or hidden agenda that's in God's name. We're talking about worshiping and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's as personal as it gets. And that's between you and God, and nobody can substitute that for you. You and I have to be worshipers of God. According to the Greek translation, worshiping God physically is to humble yourself on your knees and bow your forehead that it touches the ground. But it's not limited to your body. You can do anything you want to do with your body. Doesn't mean you're worshiping God. It might look like you're worshiping, but you're thinking and you're somewhere else. Somebody say amen. It's the humbling of your heart and your will to the will of God. That's what's most important. Despite your posture. The word says we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We have to worship God and be obedient to the word and the will of God for our life. It's nothing like this has never happened in the history of mankind. People didn't believe it then, they don't believe it now. But it doesn't negate the fact that it happened. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So the man has committed his life to God. He's recognizing that Jesus is sent from God. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, you are altogether born in your sins. Man, we remember what you used to be like. Man, we remember you sitting there begging with your blind self. You are altogether born in your sins. Your mama sinned, your daddy sinned, you sinned. That's why you're blind. And now you're going to teach us? They kicked him out. So you have to expect, when you take a stand for Christ, expect a personal attack. You take a stand for Christ, expect the enemy to attack your character. Talk about his past life. They want to bring up the past. Amen. Nobody wants to look at your transformed life. Nobody wants to listen to you saying that I'm a changed person. Yes, we're still flawed. Yes, we still have issues. But my heart and life has been transformed to think, act, and live like Christ. I'm not going to let you forget your past. We talked about it last time. When the enemy tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. But we have to expect to be attacked, especially when people are stuck in religion and steeped in religion and want to do their own thing. But I love this. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, underline found him. Jesus has been looking for some of us for a long time. We've been running. Jesus has been after us. Jesus pursues us. He said unto him, can you trust the Son of God? Can you trust God today? So here's what, look at this. Here's the man, right? His divine day has just been crushed. Right to the point where he was just so thankful that he was born blind. Now he can see. Now he got kicked out. That's what you all in the same day. You get kicked out. Congratulations, you got kicked out of the temple. Talk about a tough day. He's probably disappointed, discouraged. Maybe I'm not a clinical psychologist, but he's probably a little bit depressed too. And I was born, man, nobody's happy. I thought they'd be happy for me. My family, my parents wouldn't even take a stand. My family didn't even take a stand for me. Jesus said, hey, but can you trust me? So Jesus is asking us today, despite all that's going on, can you trust me? Then he probably whispered in his ear, you know what? That temple is getting ready to be obsolete anyway. Because when I resurrect, I'm going to need you to help me start the church. I'm just speculating. He might have whispered that. He could have whispered that in his ear. Saying this thing, this temple, is getting ready to be old and done with. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to need you to help build my church. So just be patient. But in the meantime, can you trust me? Family, you got to ask yourself that. Despite all this, in your divine day, in this whole divine year that God has allowed us to see, the ups, the downs, the haters, the flesh, the world, the devil, everything that's going on, the success and failures, life, births, and deaths, God says, but can you trust me? That's for you and I. It's been an interesting day for this man, filled with miracles and divine encounters. He was considered a sinner by the disciples. He was healed by God. Rejected by the neighbors, interrogated by the Pharisees, disowned by his parents, preached his first sermon, rescued by Christ, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and socially. Then the man was given a purpose in life, a God-given purpose to be a disciple of Christ. What a day. What a life. For you and I in November, what a year. So here's a revelation. Each and every day is filled with miracles, divine encounters, because why? It's the day that the Lord has made. We've never seen a day like this before, family. We're here, but we don't know what comes after this. We've never seen this day before. It's a divine day. But I'm telling you, if you're operating according to the flesh and the works of the flesh, and your pride and your lust and your greed and your anger and your envy and your ego gets involved, then you will miss out on what God is trying to minister through you. You can't discern what God is trying to do through you or speak to you or speak to your heart when you're caught up in the works of the flesh. It says read this. This is Kathy, so I got to read it. It says, make a note. Don't let your flesh mess up your divine day and divine encounters. Stop letting your flesh prevent you from seeing the divine encounters and take the joy out of each and every divine day in Christ. Because it's going to be ups and downs within the day. But when you understand it's a day that God has made, it's a miracle for us to get up this morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's a miracle for us to be here this morning, to get up. And you let something take the joy out of that because you got caught up in the flesh. I'm saying, family, you got to fight against that. Amen. And when you get rejected by your neighbors and your family and the religious folks, and you get kicked out of something or disappointed or discouraged, then you say, God, I still trust you. Amen. God, even in the midst of this, I still trust you. Says in the midst of the divine day, we're fighting two enemies, our flesh and the haters. And it says, don't let the haters prevent you from seeing the miracle in the divine day. Amen. I'm able to get up this morning. I'm going to let somebody discourage me from the life that God has given me, the abundant life. With their garbage, I'm not. I refuse to, family. I'm saying God's telling us we gotta be more mature than that. It's coming. Look at this. All right, let's keep going. I'm trying to get through this. Let's keep going, right? Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. So Jesus knows, family, make a note. Jesus knows. He's heard what they said about you. He's heard what they've done to you. Let the Lord fight your battles. Just step back. Amen. Jesus found him and he said unto him, can you trust the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might trust on him? Who is he, God? Jesus said unto him, man, you both seen him and it's him that's talking to you. Jesus said, he's right here. It's me. And when some of us were at that very low point in our life, Christ wants to know, can you submit, surrender, commit, and trust God with every aspect of your life right now this morning? What is this saying? This is saying we have to put our life in biblical perspective. Keep your life, those of you taking notes, put a star by, keep your life in biblical perspective despite all this. It's always something going on in the midst of the day. We're not going to even talk about the week, what's happened from Sunday to Sunday, but you and I have to keep our lives in biblical perspective, otherwise we will lose it. And we'll miss the divine encounters. We'll miss the divine days. Don't waste time being bitter, upset, angry, and miss what God has for you. Trust God with everything. Amen. We'll take communion later this morning. That's why Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Said we have to be light. It's either light or dark. Either we receive or reject. But God's saying, can you trust me 100%? This morning. It gets better. Look at this. He's saying, the man wants to know, who is God that I may trust him? Family, when God reveals himself to you, it's up to you to trust him. Here we go. Make a note. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on, you can't get caught up in your emotions. If I feel like God's with me, that's, you cannot base your trust with God upon emotions. This man would have been done. He would have been a wreck, his emotions. Up and down, family, this, haters, and he would have been done if he's trusting God based on his emotions. And you will too. It's based on the fact of the word. This man was healed and his life was changed. The fact that the resurrection happened and that Jesus rose from the grave, those are facts, not feelings. Facts, not religious folks. Facts, not other people's opinion. And facts, not organized religion. It's the fact of the word. And just like God was talking to him, God is talking to some of us right now. And he's asking you, here we are, what, November 3rd, we're 11 months in the year. And God is asking you, can you just trust me for the remainder of the year? Hear what God is saying. God is saying, he's trying to get the attention of our heart and our mind this morning, saying, can you just trust me until, just give me November and December. I know you tried it your way all the way up to October, but just give me November. Can you trust me for November and December? Can you? And family, that's the question for you and I. As I study, family, I'm not going to cheat you all. I put my time and I try, and God, speak to me so I can speak to the heart of your people. God is saying, can you trust me? It's a lot going on in the midst of the day, in the midst of this year. God is saying, but can you got to trust me. It's no, we talk about it all the time. Any relationship without trust is an abnormal relationship. Somebody say amen. You and I, we love people, but we love them from a distance because we don't trust them. And that's abnormal. It is. But it happens. And God is saying, we can't have that kind of relationship. We got to get past. God's saying, you and I, we got to get past that. And I need November and December is what God is saying. And look, if you don't give God November, December, you never know what God could have did. And how God could have finished this year. Oh, it gets better. Okay, verse 38. He said, Lord, I trust you. And he worshiped him. Now we talk about worship, surrendering to God, surrendering our heart and our minds. He said, Lord, I trust you. That word believe translates, Lord, I trust you. And then he got on his knees. But not only that, his heart and his will was bowed to God. Look at this day. Okay, so he submits to God. What does he give up? He worships God, and he lets go of the disappointment and the discouragement and the depression. Uh-oh. Well, here, make a note of this. He worships God in the midst of the, and he lets go of the disappointment, the discouragement, and the depression. Why else is he worshiping God? Make a note. He's worshiping God because he's been healed, because he was born blind. And then he's worshiping God because he's been saved. There are so many opportunities for us to worship God during the course of the day. When he thought about it, he said, God, I worship. I'm not going to let this depression and this disappointment and discouragement. God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to worship you. Matter of fact, God, you healed me. Oh, I couldn't see before this day started. God, I'm going to worship you. And now you saved me and made me a disciple. You know what? God, I'm going to worship you. Despite all that stuff that's going on, God, I'm going to worship you. That's a divine day. That's a biblical perspective to your day. Think about it. God, you got me up this morning. I'm going to worship you. Have the activity of my limbs. I'm in reasonable health. God, I'm going to worship you. God, people who actually love and care about me, God, I'm going to worship you. I ain't going to worry about the haters and all that. God, I'm going to worship you. So many opportunities to worship God. Oh, but here's a twofold. This is a flip coin on this. Dominique, take us to Matthew 4:10. And by the way, he's kicked out of the temple, but it's a crowd around him, including the Pharisees. It's a bunch of people watching this go down, watching see how Jesus treats this man who's been kicked out. How he responds. And then in the middle of all that, in the middle of all these people, just like us when we come to church, and y'all know it's so easy, but y'all won't pray over that donut in the workroom, but it, are you too weird? Where my buddy Mark, who's been here to minister, my roommate from college, about they at work, she got a donut, she taking 5 minutes in the name of Jesus and then the stars and the moon. Are you, a couple, you don't need 5 minutes to pray over your donut, okay? So either we're not praying over the food or we're praying all weird and stuff. Right? Lunch is over by the time you get finished praying. God, my goodness. So all these people are around. Jesus is there. Jesus said, can you trust me? I'm talking to him. I'm the son of, and he says, man, in front of everybody. God, I trust you and I worship you. Don't matter who's around. I trust you. And Jesus didn't stop him. That's a problem. That's very problematic. Matthew, was that 4:10? What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, it's written, for thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Wait a minute. If Jesus isn't God, then this man shouldn't be worshiping him. And Jesus didn't stop him. So people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. What you mean he didn't? He let this man worship him. And he didn't stop him. And the scriptures specifically say the only person we're to worship and to save and serve is God. Family, make a note. Don't worship anything that has the potential to lose or die or disappoint you. I'll watch the games. I'm all entertained enough, but I'm not worshiping anything that has the possibility to lose, die, or disappoint me. Appreciate? Yes. Enjoy? Yes. Worship? No. That's why I can watch a game. I'm so glad I'm free. Because there was a time I couldn't watch a game. I'd be crying after the game. The TV be broke. I mean, I'm so glad I'm free from all that. I'm being real, man. I'd watch a game, man. I'd be the whole night be jacked up. Just jacked. The team lost in the whole night. That's too much. Because the only thing I can worship and serve now, appreciate, and y'all know, we work together, some of us, on a lot of things. We have a lot of fun. We go out. But I'm only going to worship and serve God. I'm going to enjoy everything else and appreciate everything and keep my life in biblical perspective. But Jesus didn't stop this man from worshiping him. Oh, y'all roll with me then. Let's just take, what does it say right here? How do I put this? Travel with me on a quick worship journey. Amen? So I have this. It says, family, may I make a suggestion? Please don't worship anyone or anything or any team that can lose, die, or disappoint you. I already said that. Amen? So I just want you to make a note of that. Family, and I got to, Kathy, I got it's here. Okay. We were built and born to worship. Here's a revelation God gave me. Something has to fill the hole in our heart that was created when sin separated us from God. When sin separated us from God, there was a hole in our heart, and we got to fill it with something to worship. And so either we have to choose to worship God, or we go after the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, the people, the places, the things, the money, the job, the business, the church. Yes, you can worship the church and not have a relationship with God. Stuff, ego, ambition, pride, jealousy, fortune, fame. Then it says, you fill in the blank. What have you filled that hole with other than worshiping God? I got to. All right. Thank you, Sister Washington. It says, what are you choosing to worship that is temporary and you think is going to replace a relationship with the true and living God who is permanent and faithful? Yes. Let me say it again. What are you choosing to worship that is temporary and you think is going to replace a relationship with the true and living God who is permanent and faithful? Only you can answer that. You fill in the blank for you. He worshiped Christ in front of everybody. And it was some Pharisees there too. Don't let anyone prevent you from worshiping God. Let me say this again. Now, I'm glad I wrote this too, right? Don't let anyone prevent you from worshiping God. You know how God has changed your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Nobody knows what God has done for you but you. They want to judge your worship of God? Want to judge your relationship? Nobody, this man said, I was born blind. I'm going to worship God right in front of everybody because this morning when I woke up, I was blind. I don't care what people think about my relationship with Christ. They don't know what God has done for me. It says, humble yourself and worship God daily. Trust God and worship Christ despite the haters trying to discourage you and me. Something has to fill the hole in our heart that was created when sin separated us from God. I'm recommending this morning, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so let me try and close with this. Travel with me on a quick worship journey. Somebody say amen. Look at this. Let's go to Matthew 8 and 2. Dominique, roll with me. If you have your Bibles, please roll with me. excuse me. Praise the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Family, yes, I always encourage you to take notes. I'm telling you, God is always speaking. I'm telling you, look at this right here. I'm so excited when God showed me this. Look at Matthew 8 and 2. It says, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. So make a note that the opportunity to worship God for healing. It's always an opportunity. It's always a reason to worship God. Right here, it was for his healing. Look at Matthew 9 and 18. While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and what? And worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. It's an opportunity to worship God for your children. Concerning your son and your daughter, God, I know, I don't know what's going on, God, but I'm asking you concerning my daughter. The leper said, concerning my health, and he worshiped him. Look at all the times they come and they're worshiping Jesus. And it's been made clear in Matthew 4 and 10, we're not to worship anything but God and serve him. Don't let people tell you, well, Jesus was just a good man. No, he was not a good man. He was part of the Trinity, was God the Son. And he allowed people to worship him. That's why they killed him, because he said he was God. And the penalty for blasphemy, which is to say you're God and you're not, is death. Look at Matthew 14:33. Matthew's following Jesus along and he's just doing his thing and people worshiping. If you dare say amen. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They were in the midst of a storm. So what's another opportunity when you're in the midst of a storm? And when you're afraid, God, I don't know how this is going to end, God. This is the craziest storm I've ever been in. To be honest, God, I'm afraid, but I'm going to worship you and I'm going to trust you. We got health, we got our kids, we got storm, we got our fears, our security. So we're praying for protection. And God, I'm going to worship you in the middle of all that. Family, this is daily. This is what it means to worship. This is what it means to have that relationship. We're not talking organized religion. We're not talking about a church. We're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What are you going to replace something permanent with that's just temporary? This has nothing to do with anybody else. This is me and God. Look at Matthew 15 and 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Right, somebody better highlight that. That's your prayer all week. When you worship God, I don't even know what to say. Brother Stanley, I don't know what's going on. But all I can, Lord, help me. Lovey, I don't know what to do. Trust me. It's the craziest situation I've ever been. I don't know what to do. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship God and say, Lord, help me. So many opportunities for us to worship God. I love this. They're coming to Jesus. This man, he bowed down and he worshiped him, and so did all these other people. Because Jesus can help. He is God. We've got to stop going to other people. Yes, we need that. But in your private time, you should be laying it all on the line to the one who can answer. Who can heal, deliver, set free. And the one who's asking you, can you trust me? Make a note of Psalms 118:8. It's better to trust in the Lord than have confidence in man. We're going to do all we can, but that trust in the Lord supersedes everything else. I love that I can call on some of you and say, hey, I need this, I need that. This is going on, that's going on. Y'all going to pray. I love that. But I know during my worship time, that's after I've been going into worship. He said, well, you reach out and let others know to pray for you. That's after I've spent time in worship saying, God, help. Lord, help me. I'm trying to stop, but it keeps. Hey, I'm going to finish this part. Then we're going to have communion. We're going to be out of here. Look at Matthew 20:20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desired a certain thing of him. She had boys. I don't know how many. I didn't do the research how many boys she had. Anybody got sons? Amen. You know, I just need help. She desired a certain thing. Those hard-headed kids. Hard-headed boys. Look, she came with her sons. Look, Lord, I need a certain thing because I got these boys. All the parents said amen. Not daughters, y'all special. Y'all, we got another prayer worship for y'all, but not this one. That one is Lord help, okay? I can't even begin to, you know, formalize anything but Lord help. So then you worship God for a certain thing. Be specific. Look at that. I love that. Desire a certain thing of him. Whatever that is, that's why it's personal. That's you and God. Yes. Take it right to God. Family, this is daily. This is not a ritual. This is relationship. This is what we're talking. This is, don't make it a religious thing where I have to. This is relationship because God can and God will. Okay, let me try to finish up. All right, let's go to, I got Matthew 28:17. And this is all in Matthew. I didn't even get to the other ones. I just dealt with Matthew, amen? What we got, is it Matthew 28:17? Oh, before we get there, I made him. Okay, look at 28 and 9 first. 28 and 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, "Rejoice." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So when we're rejoicing, we're having our best times. Oh, God, this, I can't believe this is so good, God. Let me stop and worship you. I'm not going to forget you when things get good, God. I'm rejoicing and I'm going to worship in the midst of my rejoicing. It's always an opportunity to worship God. If you say, "Pastor, I'm in a good place." There you go. Rejoice and worship. And pray for us that are struggling right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then we get to 28:17. Matthew 28:17. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. So even in the midst of doubters, you still got to worship. Let me say it again. In the midst of doubters, you still got to worship. You worship and they think you fake. You playing games, you this, it don't matter. Amen. It's always two types of people, those that are worshiping and those that are doubting. And that's okay in the midst of that. Then let me finish with this. Then we get to the Great Commission, which is Matthew 18-20. Family, you and I, we have to be about the Great Commission until we transition. Let me say it again. You should never have to ask God, "What is my purpose in life?" This is it. Now, the way you accomplish your purpose, you can ask God that. But you have purpose. Verse 18, Jesus came and said unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's why they could worship. He said, "I'm God." And he said, "Now go and make disciples of all nations." Family, that's why we don't understand why we're on that job and we're frustrated. Because while we're there, we're supposed to teach someone. We're supposed to let our light shine because we are the light of the world. The baton was passed to us. And we have to interject something about Jesus Christ being the light of the world and how you should worship him. How you should develop a relationship with him and worship him. Amen. In the midst of doing your job, not being weird, praying 30 minutes over a donut trying to get fired. But letting your light shine. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is a great commission that Jesus gave them, that he gave to us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Jesus said, hey, this is after he resurrected, family. They worshiped him before he resurrected. They worshiped him after he resurrected. said, I'm God. I got all power, all authority is a translation. Is unto me in heaven and in the earth. Do not trade something temporary for a permanent God. He said, all power in heaven and earth. So as we are getting ready to take communion, here's what I have written down. As this grown blind man's day was interrupted, because it was a divine day, amen? I'm saying pray that God would interrupt the day of your kids, your grown kids, your siblings, your parents, whoever you're praying for. Pray for a miraculous encounter with God. Pray that they will worship God in the midst of the disappointment and discouragement. They will trust and worship God. Pray for their healing mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Pray that the Holy Spirit would teach. Oh, this is a big one. Write this down if you can, just some of it. I have my notes. You can see me after church if you miss any of it. But pray that the Holy Spirit would teach and help us to love, to heal, to restore, to forgive, and to trust God every day in the midst of our divine day. Let me say it again. Pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us and help us, because we can't do it on our own. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're going to be frustrated to no end if you try and do it on your own. That the Holy Spirit would teach and help us to love, to heal, restore, forgive, trust God every day in the midst of our divine day. And then speaking of a divine day, Sister Dominique, take us to 1 Corinthians 11:23. On the night in which Christ was betrayed, he gave thanks. Speaking of a divine day, how can you be betrayed and give thanks? Because every day is a divine day. How can you get crucified and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Because God is still in control. It's a divine day. Family, we have to change our perspective. So as we prepare to take communion, just think about who you need to forgive. Put it back in biblical perspective. Who do you need to turn over to God so God can fight the battle? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to let go? Oh, it's hard, I know. So God, we just cry out now, help. We worship you, we trust you, God, and we say, help. Go ahead, brothers. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. And just make a note, you don't have to be a member to take communion. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please take communion with us. God said, do this in remembrance of me. If you haven't accepted Christ, then don't take communion, but see me after service so I can make sure that you take it next time. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Lord. Heal our hearts, Lord. Heal our hearts. Your mind. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You can trust him this morning. Yes. And elevate that which represents his body. Lord, heal our bodies. Heal our minds. I trust in you, Lord. Nothing's impossible for you. God, that's how we worship you and we trust you. John, go ahead. Nothing is impossible. Go ahead and do that. Thank you, Lord. Just elevate that which represents his body. Oh, Lord, yes. Yes, 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 Lord. Nothing. Jesus, you're all I need. Thank you, Lord, for being our healer. We can trust you, we can worship you. Every aspect of our life, discouragement, disappointment, depression, children, health, security, fears, certain things that we only want to tell you. When we're at our high point and we're rejoicing, we grab your feet and we rejoice and we worship you. And when there are doubters and haters around, God, we still choose. It's a choice. We choose to worship you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you that your body was broken so that ours could be healed, and that we can transition into your presence when we leave here. go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Thank you, Lord, that you cleansed us and you've made us right. We tried and we found out you can't get clean in dirty bath water. And we got out and we still had that ring called sin all around us. But when you shed your blood, you cleansed us past, present, and future sins. You, not only that, you removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You've cast them in the sea of forgetfulness and you don't even remember them. You did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's why we worship you. That's why we're going to choose daily to start our day just saying, God, thank you. Let me worship you, Lord, just for a few minutes. So many opportunities. Praying over our kids and our jobs and our bosses and every aspect, the uncertain, the unknown things, the things that we're afraid might happen. We're going to worship you and cast them upon you because you care for us. And because you cleansed us with your blood, we're righteous. And the word says that that your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. And we're only righteous because of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for freeing us through the shedding of your blood. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. In Jesus' name, we say thank you, Lord. Amen.